Welcome to Rabbit Rabbit. I'm your host, Christine, co-founder of Out of Office Marketing and a work-life coach dedicated to helping brands and people unlock their fullest potential. In today's episode, we're talking about embracing curiosity. I believe to grow, you gotta embrace curiosity. The key to personal and professional growth, curiosity is so underrated, and some even reserve it for children. But curiosity is the fuel for creativity. When you stay curious about the world around you, you open yourself up for more opportunities. Curiosity isn't just about asking questions. It's about seeking new experiences, challenging our assumptions, and embracing the unknown with open arms. It's the driving force behind innovation and creativity. In our personal lives, curiosity helps us grow, learn about ourselves, the world around us, and the people we share it with. It makes our experiences richer and our relationships more fulfilling. But here's a thought to ponder. In a world that often prioritizes efficiency and specialization, how does curiosity fit in? Well, it turns out that curiosity is actually a superpower in both personal and professional contexts. It fuels adaptability, an essential skill in today's ever-changing world. It encourages us to explore new perspectives and solutions, making us more effective problem solvers and creative thinkers. So how does curiosity affect our professional lives? In the workplace, a curious mindset leads to higher levels of job satisfaction, creativity, and innovation. It drives us to continuously seek improvement and adapt to new technologies, methodologies, and strategies. Curiosity fosters lifelong learning, a critical component of professional development in our rapidly evolving world. So how do you stay curious at work? First of all, if you're listening to this podcast, you're definitely looking to change up either your work or your life. And curiosity is that, like I said in the opener, superpower to make that happen. One of the things you can do is seek out new challenges. Volunteer for projects outside of your comfort zone or take on tasks that stretch your skills. When you embrace these new challenges, keep in mind that this engages and encourages you to continuously learn. Sometimes you might take this on as like, I'm taking on more work, or this isn't in my work description. But really try to change your mindset with that and think about how this is benefiting you in the long term, and how maybe think about it this way. Maybe it's not about taking on a new challenge in what is your work description, but maybe it's seeking out challenges that are in different departments. So explore and experiment. Approach your work with a sense of experimentation. Try different methods. Explore alternative solutions. Sometimes we do things the same way all the time, and then someone new shows you a different way of doing it, and it's like this aha moment. Be open to that. That's being curious. And don't be afraid to take calculated risks. So sometimes it's like, well, the risk is too much. Now, listen, I'm not telling you to like bet millions of dollars on something, but sometimes doing the risky thing has very big payoffs. Experimentation can foster creativity and can lead to unexpected insights. So another way to do this is, like I said, like reaching out to cross departments. Maybe there's somebody that you're like, this is really interesting. I'd really like to know how you guys maybe work. Maybe you've noticed how their team meetings go and you're curious about that. So encourage diverse perspectives. Seek out opportunities to collaborate with departments. You know, this is a long time ago when the Slack just came upon us, and I loved the fact that there was a manager that I worked with that did 15-minute stand-ups. And, you know, some of the meetings were hours long, and I just felt like we're not getting what we need from that. And I was curious, like, how do you get everything you need from 15 minutes? And one of her things she mentioned to me was the fact that usually for the team, there's 15 minutes that everybody in that room needs to hear. And then from there, she's able to take the rest of the 45 minutes and take one-on-one stand-ups with everybody else. And I hadn't noticed that. And it made such a difference when I started instituting it with my team, of being able to have that group 15 minutes, everybody, like, this is everything everybody should need to know, but sometimes they just need that one-on-one time with you. But if I didn't ask the question, I would have just kept on doing the same thing. So, you know, reach out to people that maybe you haven't noticed anything. Maybe it's just, hey, I'd love to know how you're managing the team, like your day to day, or what your week looks like with your team, and how that happens, especially if someone has a very successful team. Like, ask them how you do it. Like, what are your management kind of tricks? What do you got up your sleeve? Because it'll be surprising. Sometimes it's the simplest things, is like, you know, the length of your meetings and when to have team meetings versus one-on-ones. So look for those different perspectives on how people do things. It always will spark new ideas, approaches, and it helps you solve some of the problems that you might be having. So stay informed. So this is really important. And I've always used this of, like, you know, making sure that you're keeping up with industry trends, news, and developments related to your field. It always opens up conversations in the workplace. It also lets you see how companies outside of your own world are doing things. Follow thought leaders. So perhaps they're not in the same fields, but they are doing amazing things at a tech company, and you happen to be working for a food company, whatever it may be. Following those people and the way they do things is very important, because they have made it so far in their career. The advice that they're putting out there is things that you should be listening to. Not everything's not going to be apples to apples, but don't think of it only as, I need to follow my competition. Follow people that you admire. So participate in relevant professional development opportunities. So if there's talks and panels and things like that, podcasts, make sure you're listening to those things. Always follow the headlines or trends on social media that people are talking about. And when I say this, I'm like, think about that thing that went around on social media that was about men think about the Roman Empire every day. Like, that was so interesting to me. And it opened up conversations with people at work that maybe you wouldn't have, because you get to ask that question, because it's so intriguing. Like, what do you mean you worry about the Roman Empire, or think about the Roman Empire? So things like that, it's very curious way of looking at things, and it's a way to open up conversation. So staying informed is not only for you to stay informed in your industry and to learn new things, but it's also a great way for you to open up conversations with other people that maybe you wouldn't be talking to. Up next, I'm going to bring on a special guest from the Out of Office team, my co-founder and partner, Julie Greenberg. She was reluctant to come on the podcast, and I thought it was a great example of how curiosity can break the ice and make conversations flow. So we're going to chat about an article I read and see what it opens up.
Hello, listeners. This is Danielle from Out of Office Marketing, popping in to tell you about our brainstorm services. Have you heard the saying, the best way to have a good idea is to have lots of ideas? It's catchy, yes, but if you don't have the right mix of structure and strategy, you'll end up with a storm of random ideas, but no roadmap to drive your competitive advantage. When you bring us on board, we assess your challenges and objectives, and then lead a breakthrough brainstorm session leveraging our unique approach as moderators and collaborators. We've got the secret sauce to make innovative thinking flourish. You'll walk away with an actionable execution plan designed to level up your brand narrative, offerings, and your revenue potential. Head to OOO-marketing.com and let us customize a brainstorm package that meets your goals and your budget. We'll see you in the think tank.
Hi, and welcome back to Rabbit Rabbit. I'm with a special guest, my co-founder and my favorite person, Julie Greenberg. Hi, Julie.
There. Thanks so much for having me. I've just been waiting for my invite to come on the podcast, so I am so happy to be here.
And by waiting, she's being very sarcastic. So she's been avoiding me. She's been avoiding me.
Never.
But I wanted to get you on to kind of bring up this topic that I've found super interesting, and it's brought up a lot of conversations, and I forward you the article. But this whole entire phenomenon that around 30 to 50% of individuals engage in regular internal monologues. So, which seems like, okay, that makes sense. But the thing that was shocking to me is if it's 30 to 50%, that means 50 to 70% of people don't experience this.
That's wild.
It's wild. So I've always had an inner monologue. I always work things out in my head. It's the Virgo side of me. Julie is also a Virgo. So I have these like conversations. I was happy to find out that this often starts in childhood, and it's a way to kind of enhance your language abilities. And then later on life, it serves as a means to rehearse information for retention and understanding. So the good news is that it's a cognitive behavior, and rather than a sign of mental disorder, which, sometimes I'm walking down the street and I'm doing it, and I get a little worried that, wait, am I like the crazy person who's talking to myself as I walk down the street? I'm having full-on conversations.
But you're not moving, right? Like you're internally.
Well, it's funny you say that. So most recently, I have found my mouth moving sometimes, and it's worried me. And I don't know if it's something that's come with like getting older, or that I've just been doing it for so long that I'm now moving my mouth.
Well, I must say I do the same thing. I just drove to Starbucks and I often do this. I find myself at a light and someone will pull up next to me and I'll be talking to myself. And I'm like, do they think I'm crazy? And I'm like, nah, they, you know what? I could be on the phone with someone through Bluetooth, but like, I find that my mouth is also moving.
Right?
So.
It is a scary thing because, listen, when I was younger, and when I say younger, I mean probably like the last time I saw my mom, I would make fun of my mom constantly because I would catch her having these conversations with herself. And we're like, who are you talking to? And she's just like, leave me alone. Da, 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 da. And she's like, it's just how my mind works. And I would make fun of her. And now I am that person.
100%. My mom growing up, we'd go to the mall every Saturday and she would be in the dressing room next to me and just be talking to herself. And I'd be so embarrassed because I like it's like who are you talking to, right? Like it's I just was mortified by it. But now I find myself in the car talking to myself.
Right.
So here we are.
So, do you find it helpful? We have both established we are part of the 30 to 50% of people who have an inner monologue. Do you find it helpful to have an inner monologue?
Some days it's helpful, other days it's not so helpful. I would say most of my time though is spent inside my head, at least as of recently, as of lately. But I think for me it's a way to like process information and emotions. So something that had just happened, whether it's like an interaction with someone or like emotions that I'm feeling, like it's a way for me to talk to myself about it and maybe like understand better like why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. So that's helpful because again, I'm able to process information and maybe make better informed, you know, decisions and thoughtful decisions and whatnot. And then on the other side, talking to myself, the internal monologue helps me prepare for something that's gonna happen or that I anticipate happening. So in a way, I feel, you know, prepared for certain situations. But again, like most of my time's inside my head. And as you know, sometimes that internal monologue can be a little negative and not so great. So when it's going on constantly and never turning off, it could be a bit exhausting.
Yeah, I agree. So I kind of use it for the same thing. I will always say I've had a large conversation with somebody, and afterwards I need to kind of process what happened, whether it was maybe intense, maybe it was a work conversation, maybe it was with my husband. Whatever the conversation was, it was just a lot for me to handle. And sometimes I want to make sure that I made all my points. And I'll sit there and I'll go through it in my head to think like, Okay, did I get my point across? And then like, should I have said that better? Like,
Yeah.
those are the type of thoughts that run through my head. I don't so much do it in the reverse order, like leading into a conversation. I don't do it that. It's always kind of post, but I will have an inner monologue of like how I want things to go in a more broader, wider sense, less a conversation. Like how I want my week to go, how I want my day to go, but not maybe pinpointing it down to like how I want this conversation with this person to go.
Yeah, I could see that. And when you talk to yourself, like you're having a conversation with yourself, but do you ever like pretend as if like, say it was a fight with, or not a fight, but just, interaction with like a colleague or your husband, will you then kind of replay it in your head, talking to yourself, but pretend like you're talking to that person again? Or is it solely just like talking to yourself?
That's interesting. I think I've done both.
Sometimes, a lot of times, I'll pretend like, oh, I'm talking to a therapist, like as if you were talking to a therapist, right? And you're kind of like explaining what happened
Yep.
and maybe how you're feeling, and it helps kind of like validate maybe the things that you said or the reasons why you're feeling a certain way. So oftentimes I find myself pretending to like talk to someone in my head. So it's like a dialogue in my head with someone else that's
Yeah.
not there.
I think 100%. I think I've kind of had both things happen to me, but I think for the most part, it is this therapeutic thing for me of just, like you said, like replaying it and kind of validating what I was feeling in the moment and understanding it. And then I will say also, it does help me process maybe the other person's thoughts
Sure.
because it's allowing me to kind of say, like, okay, but maybe I can see that maybe that was harsh or maybe I didn't approach that the right way, like whatever that is. And sometimes it's just like that went exactly the way I wanted it. And I'm kind of praising myself. I've also done that where I like feel like good about a conversation and I just want to like take a moment and give myself praises, which I don't like. I'm not like saying, okay, now take a moment and give myself praises. It just like pops into my head. And sometimes
Yeah,
it doesn't pop
it's
into my
natural.
head like immediately following something. It could be like 2 days, 3 days later,
Yeah, absolutely.
which is weird sometimes, I think.
It is weird. So you don't
Wild.
often like have these conversations with yourself like leading up to like an interaction, that you're having. Like if you know you're gonna like have like maybe a difficult conversation with someone in like the coming week, like will you kind of like play that out internally, like in your head, and pretend
So
to have that conversation? Because I mean, as you've been a manager for a lot of your career, I'm sure you've had a lot of like from a work setting, a lot of like different conversations with people and given like reviews, and like
Yeah.
would you ever
I
like
have less of
almost
a,
like
I have
practice?
less, I will say, I probably in work situations, I probably have a, I do it less. I have a lot of confidence in work
I was gonna
conversations.
say, I think it's tied probably to confidence. Like you, as our manager too, like know, like you
Yeah.
feel confident with your the
I feel
feedback you're.
confident that it does probably come up sometimes and maybe not someone who I'm very familiar with in my personal life, but maybe someone I'm not familiar with, or someone I'm not specifically close to, but they're in my like friend zone type of thing. Sometimes I'll relive those or like a neighbor and like where I'll sit there and I'm like, okay, I have to have this conversation about, you know, XYZ with them and how do I like go into it. And then I'm also an avoider with those type of things too. So I think I have that avoidance kind of dialogue with myself of like, I don't have to deal with this now. So I'm having that less the conversation of maybe what I'm going to say to them. I think of all the reasons why I don't have to do that. So
Yeah,
that's
that's
the type of monologue I'm having, which I don't think is helpful either. But for, I think I'm most confident in like work conversations. Less so being a business owner, I will say, because it's very new to me.
right.
But my prior career, I was pretty confident going in when I'd have to have difficult conversations. I'm like, okay, today is the day. Maybe that's the extent of it, but nothing more than that. Because I sometimes I feel like if you rehearse it too much, it just isn't. I always tried to come in as someone who was listening to the other person as opposed to just getting my point across. And I tried to be that as a manager. Who knows? I mean, Julie, you tell me, did I fail? I'm not sure.
Course not. Best manager.
Oh my God, guys, did you hear that? It's recorded, Julie. So what about, do you know anyone in your life who doesn't have an inner dialogue?
So that's a great question. I think my friend Melissa does not. I was just texting with her. I think. I know she can't visualize things in her head, which I know we were just chatting about earlier, which that's not necessarily inner dialogue. So you're not like talking, but I don't know. For me, it's like kind of in the same realm because like I can think about, in my head something that I want to like do. I don't know, like this summer, right? And then I could actually visualize myself like sitting on a beach. I could feel like the sun on me. Like I could actually get transported to a place. But then in that place, I could also still be having a conversation with myself, like in the future. I don't know what that's considered, but.
Well, it's interesting because there is that. So, according to these findings by a psychologist, I'm going to just go to his name, is Russell Herbert. So he's the one who kind of is studying this. And a lot of, the articles you'll see on TikTok and different things and people talking about it on other podcasts are related to his findings. So apparently that 50 to 70% of people who don't experience this actually do experience it through visualization.
Right. So I'm kind of
So
in both
if
realms,
your
I feel like.
friend doesn't have the inner dialogue and can't visualize, I think she's on that scary thing. Like, what's
Yeah.
happening?
And if that's the case, I think we need to have her on the podcast and kind
Yes.
of figure out what the
We
heck
need
is
to
going
study her on
on.
Rabbit
Yeah.
Rabbit.
I just texted her asking, so let's see if she'll respond while
Let's see
we're
if there's a
recording.
live response. So I brought this conversation up during the Easter holidays, and my whole family was there, and I live in New York City, and my niece does too. When we were driving up to Boston, and we started talking about this whole thing that's all these findings that 30 to 50% of individuals here. And then being shocked that there's 50 to 70%. And it started this whole thing on the drive up, and we had probably like a 2 hour conversation about it. So then we brought it up at Easter dinner, and I was like, I bet you one person in my family who doesn't have this, and I bet it was my brother. And he was like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. And we couldn't believe it. I was just like, I could, because I figured it was him, but at the same time that it really was true. And we were telling him some of like the thoughts that they're go through our heads. Like, my niece had like stepped away from the conversation to go to the bathroom, and when she came back, she's like, I just want you to know, I thought about what I looked like going up those stairs, and then what was happening while I was upstairs, and what was everybody talking about? Were they still going to be talking about this conversation? Because I didn't want to miss any of the conversation, like the whole thing. And he's like, never in my life have I ever had that.
Like, so fascinating. So, like, then what, like, nothing goes through his mind. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Exactly. He's like, I'll sit there and think of like, I gotta do this today. He's like, but I'm not like going because this is really like, this is, you could be like my niece, like walking up a set of stairs and just thinking about the whole entire action of walking up those stairs and what's happening with your clothes, what's happening downstairs. Like, for me, a lot of the time it manifests in like, if I was in a social situation, is everybody here happy? Is everybody here doing well? Like, I'm always wanting to make sure everybody's getting what they wanted out of something. But in turn, am I missing out on my own kind of happiness because my brain is just constantly spinning and
Yeah.
making sure like everybody else is okay? Like, it's those type of things, or it's as simple as like, I'm walking down the street and I'm just having these random thoughts fly in and out of my head. And one day I'm thinking about 5 years ago at a job I used to work at. And the next thing I'm like, I'm really hungry right now. What should I eat? I mean,
Yeah.
And also too, like, yeah, I find that it's like, sometimes it's like intentional, right? Like I'll initiate these conversations if I'm like feeling frustrated about an interaction, and then I'll kind of just like start thinking about it in my head. But then, like you said, sometimes I'm just like walking and I'll see like a cute dog walk by, and then I'll start thinking to myself, my inner dialogue, like, what a cute dog, like thinking, and then start thinking like, oh, like, do I want to get another dog? Should we get another dog? Like, I wonder
Right.
what my dog's doing right now. And then I might like just start thinking about a conversation that I had with my husband about our dog, and like your mind just keeps going like to
It's
all these different
going and
places.
going, and it's leading to the next thing, the next thing. So they said like people who can have trouble meditating most likely have
Yes.
this inner monologue. So which 100%, like I do have, I've never gotten past the maybe 12-minute mark with meditation, and that took a long time of
That's it.
like practice. And when I say like if I did, I haven't been practicing lately, so I would probably have to start again at 60 seconds to get to that place again. And
Wow.
I probably only hit it maybe for a week, and then I just like gave it up again, because most likely my inner dialogue was listening to some other sort of wellness thing that was going to help my life, and I'm like, I'll do that instead.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that because I find I in the past used to love to read, but now when I read, I have to like go back like a couple pages because I'm like, wait, I was just thinking about something else. My inner dialogue, like monologue, was coming up, and then like it's taking me away from like actually reading this book. So it's like it's constantly
Right.
going. And so that's like a drawback of it too. It's like, you know, it's just can be like excessive. And then for me, as you know, like a lot of it can be like negative self-talk, or it's me just like re-talking to myself and having a dialogue about like negative things that maybe have happened or interactions. And it's like, well, if I wasn't
Right.
having these internal dialogues, I could just kind of push it to the side and forget that it happened, but my mind just wants to keep, you know,
No,
talking to my
100%. I think my husband probably has that more than I do, where he'll sit there and have these like, well, this is all gonna go wrong and blah 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 blah. And I'm just like, you need to like calm down, you know. But and then my side of having that in a monologue from what he's saying to me is like, how do I calm him down? What could I do? Da, 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 da. And I sit there and I go over all these things of like, again, it's that like caretaker part of me of like, how do I make it so it's all good and everybody's calm and blah blah blah? And he's like going down the path of self-destruction.
which sounds a little bit more like myself.
I'm like, wait, but you used to be an overthinker, which I think you are less of that. Like,
Yeah,
I feel like
I
overthinking and this is a little separated, but you used to, I feel like you would overthink things to your detriment, where now I think the things you think about have less. Like when I say that, I mean like when it came to work. And I think you do that less now.
Yeah, like the things I overthink about. Like I used to overthink about things that were just like not
Like I have to present this tomorrow. Like, what am I going to do if I'm presenting this? Blah, blah, blah. You would like, and it's something that maybe you presented like 10 times and you would sit there and overthink it. I feel like you do that less of, but.
yeah, or like waking up. I mean, amount of times that I probably emailed you at like 3 in the morning, overthinking something that I submitted and like second guessing everything and
Right,
overthinking.
and sometimes I'm like,
I guess
what
I
are you
do.
talking about? I think you've moved past that, but your life has gotten
Grown
bigger.
up. I think I've grown up a little.
Yeah, and I think, but that's what happens. Like if you think about it, like if I think about myself in my 20s and what was important to me and the things I thought about, my world was like this, and then all of a sudden in your 30s and 40s it grows and grows and grows, and you're just like, oh my God, that's zero problem compared to like all these other things going on in my life.
No, absolutely.
But it is kind of a fascinating thing of I think for me this biggest thing was like the people who aren't having an inner monologue. Last like I was like, of course people have inner monologues. Like it was surprising to me when people were surprised people had it, but 70%, there could be 70% of people who don't have this happen is insane to me.
Yeah, it's crazy. I would love to speak with someone who doesn't have an inner
I know.
dialogue
And
and
now
like kind
that
of
I know, I
your
didn't
brain.
know the visualization piece till recently.
So like
So I would love
they
to
might
now go
so
back and ask somebody about that.
right. Like I guess that person might like as they're going to bed like visualize their to-do list, but not
Right.
necessarily sit there and be
Right.
like going bullet by bullet and then like kind of thinking.
Yeah. No, my brother, like my brother, when he talked about it, he said to me, and again, I didn't know the visualization piece then, but he said like, he just thinks about like, I got to get this done, this done, this done, this done this weekend. And that's my plan. And it is very much him because it's very hard to, for him to go off of that plan. he's not as flexible that way, but I do get it. Like he thinks about it. He's made the plan and he doesn't think about it until he has to put the plan in action, where I would think about it all the way through.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And it's interesting too, because, you know, when there is no like internal dialogue, like there's just silence going on there, right? Like,
I don't know. What is happening?
I don't understand what a life is like living without inner dialogue. I really don't.
Like, I think for a month. Like,
no internal chatter. And then also, like, say that you're watching a TV show, right?
Yep.
For example, I talk a lot about This Is Us because I just love that show. Because I just feel like so many people can connect to, like, so many different themes throughout it. And oftentimes, I just started rewatching it again on Netflix from the beginning. And it, like, when I watch a certain scene, like, it brings me to something in my life that relates to it. But then I will internally start thinking about it.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know if someone who's watching a TV show, do they just, like, watch it? Like, do they just have, like, no feel, like, you know what I mean? Like, how do they?
Really good. I like that analogy because now I feel like that's something that might, I could say, like, when I go back to my brother and ask him about it, I'm going to ask him that because.
And that's a good example because the show like truly touches upon so many different like life moments. I think that every single person can relate to, whether it's like having siblings, death, grief, you know, body issues, like it just covers so much. So I feel like, I don't know, watching a show like that, I would think it'd bring up something in every person who watches.
Because and, otherwise, like it's not thinking about it. Because I mean, yes, there is times where like, I've always made the assumption of like, say there's like a death of a character in a television series. Is it the actual, well, maybe it is, the death of that person who we know is fictional in this television series, or are we tapping into grief of something that happened to us? And it's amplified by the death of the person. Like, do you know what I mean by watching this thing? Like, I'm assuming you're tapping into, so you're thinking about these things, and like, you're like, oh my God, it kind of reminds me and blah, blah, blah. And then you just start to go into your feelings.
Yeah.
But do these people who don't have the inner monologue do the same? Are they just watching like the saddest movie on earth and no reactions? Like, are those things.
Like, do they not have feelings?
I don't know. I don't know. We've just established that they're psychopaths.
And then. Also, not to jump around, but like if you're reading a book, like if I'm reading a book, I'm internally talk, like I'm reading the sentence out loud internally.
Right.
You know, like do you do that? Or do you just like, right. So that's an internal dialogue, right? Like, like how does someone read? Like, how does that?
I mean, I think reading is a little different, but I think like I do know what you mean by like you're sitting there and you're reading, but like if the leading leads to another thought that's other than what's on the written page.
Or then that becomes
No, it's really interesting to me. I mean, like one of the things with meditation that I always found interesting, and this is what exactly to me what this inner monologue is like, if you find yourself having these thoughts that are like traveling to you, think of it like a pack of puppies, because I love dogs, you love dogs, think of it as a pack of puppies are sitting around you, and these pack of puppies are just acting crazy, but you need to get that pack of puppies to sit in your lap. Now imagine trying to get 12 puppies to sit in your lap all at the same time. It's impossible. That's my inner monologue. There's constantly 12 puppies scattered about, and for me to get still, I literally have to get these puppies to sit on my lap, which is virtually impossible.
Yeah.
That's how I think about it. Well, Julie, it's been a pleasure as always.
So fun chatting with you, Christine.
Really good chatting with you. And I told Julie earlier that she thought maybe the whole episode was going to be about this. And I shared with her that this episode is actually actually about living your life with curiosity to creating abundance and luck in your life. And this is an example of when you're curious, all the things you can find out. Because what is this leading to? I'm going to have another conversation with my brother about stuff. You're reaching out to your friend Melissa. All these things are happening because we were curious about something that we didn't know anything about. So
I love it.
Thank you, Julie. And to next time, because you know you're going to be on it next time. Promise?
I cannot wait.
All right.
I think we have an episode with Matt too. Let's think about a topic for that one.
Matt is Julie's other half. I wasn't going to say better half. It's just her other half. but yeah, no, that would be a good one. We have to figure out if he totally has.
Didn't you guys want to start a podcast a long time ago? Christine and I have known each other for a long time. Was that like a reality TV podcast?
Maybe. He wanted to do the Bravo one.
Yes.
But then those guys did it.
For another time.
You know, it's that if you wanted to start Facebook, you would have started Facebook. All right, Julie, thanks so much.
Thanks, Christine.
So that was great. Something as simple as reading a 3-minute article, one, taught me something that I didn't know. Two, made me curious to know where my family and friends fell in the inner monologue debate. And three, made it easier for someone who didn't want to join the podcast, that's Julie, open up and have a conversation. The article served as a springboard for an engaging conversation. And trust me, I will continue to foster connections this way. I'll bring this article several more times. It's a simple yet effective way to break the ice and foster new relationships and sometimes some old ones. So where does curiosity fall in the world of science? Research in psychology and neuroscience has shown that curiosity enhances our brain's ability to learn and remember. When we're curious about something, our brain lights up, releasing dopamine, not just when we find the answer, but throughout the process of seeking. This not only makes the journey of discovery pleasurable, but also cements our learning. So we've talked about staying curious at work, but like, what about life? What about the life after the 9-to-5 or your busy schedule running your own company? So whether it's trying a new hobby, exploring a different neighborhood, or staying curious keeps your mind open to new possibilities. How can we cultivate this wonderful trait in our daily lives? Here are a few strategies. Again, I'm going to talk about mindset, embracing the beginner's mindset. Approach every situation as if you're learning about it for the first time. Imagine that. So sometimes we can take for granted, like, I know about this, so I probably know about this. And we don't approach it with the beginner's mindset. We approach it, we're like, I know what you're talking about. But what if you did approach it with a beginner's mindset? The mindset encourages openness and prevents preconceived notions from clouding your judgment. It really allows you to, one, learn, two, be open to it, and not just kind of like hearing it, it's going by, you're listening, but you're not retaining anything. Remember that curiosity, when you really listen and start to seek answers and ask questions, that's when you're actually going to retain things and remember things. So that brings us to another way, ask more questions, and not just any questions. Aim for open-ended ones that lead to deeper insights. The why, the how, and the what if can open doors to understanding new ideas and anything. So step out of your comfort zone and expose yourself to new ideas, people, and cultures. This broadens your perspective and sparks curiosity. Reflection is also important. It allows you to ponder your experience. So say you were curious, you went out, you found some stuff. Now reflect on it a little bit. This is a powerful tool to deepen your curiosity and really kind of dive a little deeper than take, for example, the psychology of your inner monologue. You know, I dug in deeper. I started reading different articles. That's when I like really started to open up. that's when I learned the visualization piece of it, of what the other percentage of people were doing. When I first was talking about it, I didn't even know that piece until I delved in a little bit deeper. But it took some time of reflecting, of just kind of being like, wait, what if they're not thinking about anything, what are they thinking about? Asking myself those same questions, the why, the how, and the what if. See something that you want to explore. But maybe you just don't have time to really explore it. So I come across this sometimes walking through the city. I see some old building that just looks a little out of place. And I wonder to myself, like, what is this place? But I don't have time to sit there and, you know, look it up or read maybe something that's on the building, and I just walk by. But I make a note to myself. Sometimes I'll put it in my phone to think about it. I write down addresses a lot. Like, I'm like, okay, what's the address of this? And then I look it up later. So one thing you can do is keep a curiosity journal or just in your notepad. I think the iPhone actually just, I don't know if it's new, but they have a journal now on the iPad if you want to actually name it a curiosity journal. But it allows you to kind of like write it down quick, maybe follow up later. And this way, you know, we all love to Google. We can Google it later and kind of learn something else. It really does open up your world, because there has been so many times where I'm like, oh, who knew? So in closing, living a life fueled by curiosity isn't just about seeking answers, growth, and of course, some unexpected joy. It's about opening ourselves up to the endless possibilities that life has to offer in work and life. I encourage you to let curiosity lead the way. Explore, ask, seek, and let the wonders of the world inspire you. Remember, the most beautiful thing about curiosity is that it's a journey without an end, a path that leads to continuous growth, learning, and discovery. I want to remind you to follow, rate, and review the podcast. Share your own work-life stories and questions. DM us on Instagram at rabbit_rabbit_podcast. And if you're looking for more on the Create Your Own Luck coaching method, please visit OOO-marketing.com and connect. That's OOO-marketing.com and connect. Thank you for tuning in to Rabbit Rabbit. I'm Christine, and I can't wait to explore more with you. Until then, stay curious and create your own luck.